Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
All right. Welcome, everybody. If you have been here before on our weekly coaching calls, you may or may not recognize me. I'm filling in for Bill this week. If you've never been here before, I want to welcome you guys. Generally, this call is hosted by our very own Bill Gross. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks, so I am filling in this week. I got to look at next week. We might be taking next week's coaching call off. I'll confirm. Don't go cancel your plans to attend next week, but do know that Bill isn't. Bill does have a couple of weeks off, so I'm filling in for at least today, and then we'll figure out next week and email you guys if it's still on. If you've never been here before, this is the Probate Mastery Coaching Call. I welcome you guys on here. I know I see a lot of familiar faces here. So if you don't know who I am, I'm Bruce, Bruce Hill. I own Probate Mastery and am busy on the back end creating extra courses and workshops and coaching programs for you guys. So just wanted to introduce myself if you don't know me. How many of you have I already engaged with? How many of you have been in here and we've worked together before? How many of you are new? Do I have anybody here that's brand new, never been on a Probate Mastery call before? Welcome, Alan. Thank you. We do this, and who else? Michael. Perfect. Mick. We do this every single week. Generally, as I mentioned a little bit ago, this is Bill Gross. He's a real estate agent out in California and has done an amazing job building tons of probate business for himself and kind of building a business that supports the life that he wants. He does it heavily through his attorney networking and relationships. So he's very well known in the probate space. And he got his start by taking Probate Mastery. It just was a really good fit for him to come in here and kind of carry this coaching call for us, and he'll be back very soon. So if you've never been on one of Bill's coaching calls, I encourage you to come back. He's a much better Zoom meeting host than I am. All right. So those of you that are new, we welcome you guys. Come back every Tuesday. Really quickly, if you are unfamiliar with sort of the Probate Mastery family and the process, we did just redesign and launch the website fresh this past weekend. We've kind of changed the way that we're delivering Probate Mastery and the free courses to you guys. So if you go check out probatemastery.com, I now have a couple of free mini courses up on the website that you can take for free. Those will kind of guide you through some basic steps of what's the opportunity in the probate or the estate niche. What does your marketing need to look like? What's your prospecting need to look like? Once you're in there, there's chances to take a little bit of a deeper dive free class called Probate Foundations. And then starting next week, I'm really excited because we're doing Probate Mastery live for the first time in years. We have basically just offered Probate Mastery as a 15-hour on-demand pre-recorded class up until now. Starting next week, we're going to be doing it live again, and I'll be teaching that approximately once per month. So prices have come down a little bit. We're teaching it live to get that interaction back and forth, and then we're rolling out a coaching program. So I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone has on those as we go through the call today. Before I jump into a little bit of a topic that I wanted to talk about, do I have any questions from anyone? Is anyone wanting to know anything about the process or Probate Mastery or anything that's deal related? Hey, Fed, what's happening? It's good to see you, man. Anything that's deal related, what can I help you guys with? And if I don't get any questions right away, I'm going to dive into a little bit of a topic to get us kicked off. If you do have a question, you guys can go down, either wave at me or go down to the, let me see what it says. There's a reactions button on your screen. If you click that, there should be a button, a bar that says raise your hand. And if I don't see anything, we are going to dive into some topic. All right, let's go. So I want to kind of open up by talking to you guys about your business systems. This has been something, a kick that I've been on here for a little while. So often, those of us that are investors or real estate agents, anyone in the real estate space, we're really, really bad at creating systems in our business. A lot of times we come in, maybe you're a realtor and you get a license and you go, okay, what am I going to do to get business? And everything that you do to generate business, it either works, which is, okay, let me go back. It either doesn't work and then you get out of the business, or it works and now all of a sudden you're a slave to success. That was me for a long time. I became a slave to success. At the height of my real estate journey, I had 108 listings, active listings on the market at one point. And the market was down, so we certainly weren't selling 108 properties a month, but those had accumulated and it was taking about 9 months to sell the average listing. But that was a lot of listings to be able to keep up with, a lot of prospecting, a lot of follow-ups, a lot of nurturing clients along. And I became a complete slave to that success. And not only do you have those, but you have to keep deals coming in the door. So I was doing it heavily on prospecting and marketing, and I was out at networking events all the time, and I was just working 14 hours a day, and it was sucking the life out of me. And it was hurting things a lot. Investors, you guys can be the same way. So you come in, and let's say that you're fortunate enough to have kind of the gift of gab or the gift of being influential, and suddenly you get business. And then you become a slave to taking care of that business. So I had to learn, and I'm still learning, if I'm being honest, how to build systems and assets into my business that that did the work for me. So when I talk to you guys today about building building your business with a plan, I'm really heavily going to be geared toward building assets that will do the work for you over time, that will give you the lifestyle that you're wanting, along with the deals that you're looking for. So of those that are here, how many of you, and I'm going to have you guys raise your hand, go to the reactions button and raise your hand, and then take it back down afterward. If you're an investor, you are not a real estate agent, you're strictly an investor. All right, you can wave at me too if you're an investor. Okay, I got a couple of people that are investors. Now, how many of you, go ahead and I'll take your hands down. How many of you are agents? How many of you are real estate agents? Okay, a few more. If you're an investor here, we welcome you guys. We love investors. I'm both. A lot of people here that are agents also do both. So we welcome you guys in, but there's definitely a lot of you guys that have a license. So I want to talk about what you all are doing to avoid the hamster wheel that you can't get off of. Because once you get on that hamster wheel and it's running a million miles an hour, and you're running, prospect every day, go to networking meetings, work, follow up on your warm leads, work your transactions, things like that. There's not a whole lot of time in the day. So we're going to really be working today on creating some assets in your business that will work even if you're on vacation or sleeping or living that ideal life that you want to live. Why did you get into business in the first place is what you want to ask yourself, because many of us have forgotten that. So what are some of the assets that many of you all have built into your business? And I'm going to ask those that are building or have built assets into your business that kind of do the work for you, raise your hand and share what those are. And by the way, this is also a great opportunity to raise your hand and not only say, hey, I have this great asset that does a lot of work for me where I don't have to do it anymore. But it's also an opportunity to ask your questions as well. So if you guys have questions, I will take those at the moment. So what are you guys doing as far as building assets into your business that work for you? I know of one person. I'm going to have to pick on someone as an individual here in a minute if I don't get any hands. It always takes a minute. Where'd Jeff go? Jeff, I'm going to pick on you. Jeff and I have been coaching. Jeff is working. Oh, Douglas. Let's go to Douglas first.
Hi, Bruce.
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Bruce, I'm at an impasse. I am very good on the telephones. I'm taking hot leads left and right. I've got an incredible listing coming on, but that's all I'm doing. So every week is the same thing. And so I don't have a system that's going to handle things when I'm not on the phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Does anyone else here resonate with that? Go ahead and wave at me if you all resonate with that. Okay. That's wildly common. Okay. So you basically what you're saying is you hit the phones and you're generating your appointments and your warm leads and then you work those leads. And when you go to sleep or you go out and hopefully have a life, no business is coming in.
Yeah.
Because it's relying.
Yeah, I've got no social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking advantage of all the things that are available right now.
Yep. So what I want you guys to do is take a piece of paper out or a spreadsheet if you're on Google or Excel and just start writing out if your business was running itself, not without any time of yours. I mean, obviously someone has to put some time into your business. That could be you or a team member, but write out if your systems were in place and your business was running itself, where would you get leads? How would you follow up with those leads? What systems or team members would you have in place to follow up on those leads? What would you do to create phone activity if you weren't the one on the phone? How would you build credibility inside of the mind of people that know who you are? How would you be more credible to them if you didn't have to personally have that one-on-one conversation all the time? What would those be? Okay, and Douglas, you do the same thing. So let me ask you, Douglas, what would you need to do? What would one maybe system be that you would put into place if you had to build a system over this next week that made your life a little bit easier and maybe kept some deals flowing, even if you weren't on the phone one day?
Well, I know Bill once mentioned, but I never followed up on learning more about it, but an email campaign.
Perfect. Yep. An email campaign is a great, great place to start. Bill has a class along with some coaching calls on building an email campaign. I'll let him tell you guys about that. If you don't know anything about that, come back in 2 weeks when Bill is back and ask about the email class. I don't know how you would sign up for it. But an email campaign is one of the first assets that I recommend building. You get on the phone, you have a great conversation with someone, and they say the dreaded, hey, we're not really sure what we're going to do yet. Okay. So what does we don't know what we're going to do yet mean? Douglas, you have a conversation with someone and they say, I don't know what we're going to do with the house yet. What's that mean to you?
I can appreciate that. And I talk to people all the time that are in that situation.
Okay, freeze. So not how do you respond to it, but what does it mean to you when they say that? We don't know what we're going to do with the house yet.
They don't have a plan.
They don't have a plan. Okay. And what do they normally end up doing?
Listing with somebody.
Yeah. They normally end up selling. Okay. We don't know is a very natural, normal response for someone when you're on the phone. And I'll get back to emails in a second. We don't know. They're going to sell. Okay. If they've inherited a property and if they were going to keep the property, they would normally say, hey, I'm going to move in. My sister's going to move in. My mom lives there. I live there. I'm not selling. So the person that says, we don't know, which is an answer we get all the time on the phone. I can say 9 out of 10 times, very comfortably, 9 out of 10 times, that's a seller. Now, they don't know you. They don't like you. They don't trust you. They have questions that aren't answered, but they don't even know what those questions are. In other words, they're just not ready to think about it right now. They don't know what they don't know. They're going to sell. Now, if you can't convert them into an appointment on the phone, then at minimum, you need an email campaign that works on converting them over time, at minimum. So that's going to be probably one of the first steps that most of you build into your system. And it's an asset, just like a real estate asset that generates money for you while you sleep. If you own real estate and it might be a rental, it's generating money while you sleep, or a stock asset that hopefully is going up in value, hopefully, and creating wealth for you while you sleep. Your real estate system, a system in your real estate business, should be carrying forward the relationship for you or with you, even if you're not on the phone, even if you're not face to face. So first thing I'm going to do with an email campaign is I'm going to divide my campaign into three phases. So Douglas, if you were to take a lead that says, no, we don't know, and you're not able to get over that objection, and you go, okay, why don't I send you some stuff and you can call me if you ever need help? Okay. And they say, okay, here's my email. All right. How long would you like your email campaign to communicate with them in a perfect world? How long would they be on an email drip?
Twice a week for 3 months.
Twice a week for 3 months. Does anyone else have a different answer? Anybody else? How long would you guys want an email campaign to last? And how often would you email? Catherine and Douglas, stay off mute. I'll come back to you and we'll deepen this conversation. But I want to hear some other answers too. Catherine.
Sure. So I think I was tuned into a podcast last week or webinar that was talking about how most people make a decision across all markets on an average of 6 months. So yep. I would want to make sure that my email campaign goes on for those 6 months, mixed in with other touches. But if I had that one asset, it would definitely be email. And where I can, I'm trying to work on videos, just to throw that in there as well, because mm-hmm. videos, there's one of those things that if people, you know, optimize, or if you have it searchable and you come up and then they see your face, I mean, it all builds rapport, but that's a different point. But I would do 6 months.
Yep. Six months. Okay. Stay off mute or I'll come back to you. Video. Put a pin in video, guys, because that's another asset that we might want to talk about in a minute. So email, 6 months. So Douglas said twice a week for 3 months. Catherine said, want something to run for 6 months. Do I have any other answers? How long would you want your email campaign to last once you identify a potential warm prospect?
Until they list with you.
Until they list. How long might that be?
3, 4, 6, 9 months.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
3 years, 7 years.
I don't know about that, but I'd say, yeah.
Yeah. Could be anything. But until they list. So it's absolutely true what Catherine said. On average, it takes the average family going through probate about 6 months before they're selling. Okay. Some are a week, guys. If you've never done probate before, I don't want to run anyone off because you're going 6 months. I don't have the money to run for 6 months without a paycheck. That's not every family. That's just the median or the average family on a probate lead list. Okay. Some are longer. Casey, you raised your hand.
Yeah, I was just going to say until the property sells, if that's with me or with someone else.
Yeah.
Maybe the frequency, right, of emails changes based on that timeline. But I think as long as it's going to sell at some point, I don't think you stop your campaign.
Right. So how do we do this? If we are trying to stay in some front of someone indefinitely, we could not have an asset. We could have the liability of having to rely on ourselves to go write a new email to that lead every single week. Or we could take an email campaign in phases and start building out a substantial, long-lasting campaign. And maybe for you, that long-lasting campaign is 3 months. Maybe that long-lasting campaign is 6 months. For me, that long-lasting campaign is 3 years. 3 years. Okay, so I'm not going to sit down and write 156 emails this week. And I need a campaign running right now. How many of you could use an email campaign running today or this week? You could use an email campaign. Okay. Now, how long would it take you guys to write out 156 emails if you were going to send and you, if you were going to send a weekly email for 3 years, it would take a long time. You could not have a campaign running today. But what you can do is you can put together a monthly email drip that lasts for 6 months. And guess what? Now you've just accomplished an asset in your business that will work for you for at least 6 months. Okay. And then what you can do in phase two in a few weeks when you're ready to take on another project is you could go in and you could fill in the gaps. You could make that that campaign be 2 emails a month for 6 months. So now all you have to do in phase two is write 6 more emails and mix them into your campaign. And then let's say you want to extend your campaign, you want to expand it, and you want to make it last 3 years. So what I would do there is I'd go in and I'd say month 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, I'm going to write an email that's going to go out quarterly after the first 6 months, quarterly. And then I'm going to go in and I'm going to start filling in the gaps as I tackle different phases of my email campaign project. Okay, so what should you guys be emailing? And I'm not heavily here to talk about what you should email, but I think it does deserve a little bit of attention. What should you be emailing? Should it be a sales email? Don't forget, I'm here to buy your house every time you email. Don't forget, I want to buy your house.
I think it should be important information on what's happening in the market.
Yep. Okay. So where I would go is exactly that, Douglas. Now, first off, we need a sales email. We need a sales pitch through email. Okay. So I would probably mix in a couple of sales messages in my email. So I might write a sales message on my second email, my fourth, and my seventh. Okay. Don't quote me on that. I would say give a different answer tomorrow. Okay, but I might do that. I might write 3 emails that have a sales forward message. And then I would go start filling in the gaps with helpful resource-based content. Helpful and resource-based. Because the idea is we don't want them going, here's another email from Douglas. It's another sales pitch. Or worse, here's another call from Douglas. He's just going to call and ask me to sell the house again. You want to keep them on their toes and have them thinking that when they hear your see a video, they get an email, they hear your voice, that there's a lot of value being delivered, a lot of helpful guidance being delivered. So an email campaign is an absolutely amazing asset to start building and working into your business. And once it's built, guess what? You don't have to do anymore. You don't have to go write a whole bunch of emails. You can put people into a campaign. Right. Any questions on that? Comments, additional thoughts, or would you guys like to move on to some other assets? What do you guys have for me?
As far as forming the email campaigns, is that how do you get them into a folder when you know exactly who to send them out to and when? And is it possible to automate that?
Yeah, definitely. So a free resource that you guys can use if you don't have a big list is going to be MailChimp. MailChimp. Up to 500 people in a list is free. Now, it's not free to send unlimited emails every month. I think it's free to send maybe 2 or 3 emails per month, which is fine. So if you don't have a big list, go get MailChimp. Most CRMs have the capability of doing this. One of the lead partners that we work with is All the Leads. They just rolled out a new CRM that is free, and you can put your leads in there and deliver an email campaign. Follow Up Boss is a popular CRM. As long as you have a CRM, you're good. Now, if you don't have a CRM and you're not using a free resource like MailChimp, you might be kind of silly, but let's pretend that you are silly and you're not using MailChimp. Then I would simply go write my emails out and I would store the copy in like a Google folder. And then I would keep all my leads on a Google spreadsheet or an Excel spreadsheet. Is that the easiest, most efficient way to do it? No. What I'm here to tell you is even if you're not spending money, you're without excuse, because we can all get a Google email. and we can all put our leads on a spreadsheet, and we can all put our email copy into a Google folder, Google Doc, and copy paste. The bottom line is, I don't want you guys having to write new copy every time you email one of your leads. You can copy paste even if the system is not doing the drip for you. Okay. You just need the content and the process. And if you want to customize a little bit based on the lead's needs, that's okay with me. I would not do a lot of customization on this. I would have a drip that applies to everyone. It's a cookie cutter. It's still very valuable. And then anything that I needed to send that individual that was personalized, I would take the time to write that individual personalized message. But I want something going out to everyone for an extended period of time as an asset. Okay. Catherine, go ahead.
Just to backtrack and make a comment on how long do you follow up with them till they, you know, till they sell? I did have a deal last year that I followed up with them for 9 years, which was the entire duration of like my real estate career from when I met them to getting it done last year, and they sold it to me. So just wanted to share that for anybody who's like, oh man, they haven't sold yet, but they haven't responded to me, because this guy did not respond to me ever. And I wrote a bunch of handwritten notes, and I didn't have him on an email campaign because he was kind of a hermit and didn't give me his email at the time. And so I just kept writing handwritten notes because he disconnected his landline. I'm talking, I should have gave up, but I didn't. So anybody who's sitting there wondering if they should give up, just don't.
Yeah, don't give up. One of my favorite stories, a good friend of mine generated a buyer lead years ago, back when kind of the real estate CRM tied to a front-end website was becoming more popular with Boomtown. And someone came in, registered for property alerts on his website. And I think we've all seen this. Anyone who's ever worked a buyer lead and has tried to capture a lead, you've probably all gotten someone that registered on your site with the last name U, okay? First initial F, okay? So my friend lives in Wilmington, North Carolina. He had this guy on his email campaign for 5 years. 5 years looking at properties every single day. Last name U, first initial F, except he didn't put the initial, he spelled the name. And after 5 years, the guy landed on the same property 3 or 4 times. And the lead owner, the agent, called him. And when the guy answered, he said, "Hey, can I speak with Mr. U? I'm looking for an F, U." And the guy laughed and he was like, "You must be that guy with Remax. Okay. My name is Mark. Okay. I don't know what his name was. I just looked and saw Mark's image right up there." And they sold him a house. Okay. And that's an example of a system that does the job for you, even when you don't have a great lead. And that was 5 years with what most of us would consider a trash lead. Okay, so there's really no such thing as a trash lead. We don't know. Could be. We've all had great leads that we had a great conversation. I'm going to sell a house next week. I had a guy coming into town one time to list his $2 million property. And I had an appointment set with him. And I showed up at the house and he ghosted me. We'd had conversations for months and he ghosted me. And I lost what I thought was many tens of thousands of dollars on that person. So what I'm here to say is, some of the worst leads can be the best clients, and some of the best leads can be the worst clients. We don't know. So we need to treat everyone the same and put them all into our system. All right. Any other comments on kind of email campaign asset, or any other asset ideas that you guys think that you could build into your business? Alan.
So what kind of like small brochure or 6 or 8 steps to probate that we could create, that we could do as a handout or as an email to get people to believe that we're experts? What does anybody have something like that? Do you have something like that? Or where do you, I was on Google yesterday and I looked and looked and looked and I got steps to doing probate, but they were all written by attorneys. So I'm looking for something that you could use that would be for a real estate broker, agent, etc. Because I don't want to pretend I'm an attorney and copy and paste them, because I'm not an attorney. But I'm knowledgeable. I've been doing it a long time. I've done probate, but something to show the people the steps, but also make them want to deal with us as professionals.
Yep. Catherine, do you have an answer for that? Were you going to share something?
Yeah, I was going to share something. I think if you were on a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty sure Courtney Rollins was on, and he shared with me a probate checklist. Now, it's not a brochure, but it's pretty extensive, and it just helps them understand everything from writing letters to creditors. So you could, if you wanted to break it into a brochure, you could kind of explain maybe a little bit what each step is for and the purpose. But the checklist does go through everything up until inventory and listing things. And then I'm ad-libbing it. I like the idea of a brochure, but I'm definitely adding a couple tools like fairsplit.com and stuff into the sections that it pertains to, so that people can really just follow this checklist. But if they have questions, that's where it's like, you know, call me and I can guide you through it and be, you know, like you said, your expert. And I think it's a pretty general checklist, so it doesn't have like attorney jargon or like anything that I think would stand out to you as far as like maybe if you're in a different state or county. So if you'd like, I think I could find a copy of that and share it with you, and you can elaborate.
Yeah, I'm looking to copy and paste and make something that I can drop off at the Senior Citizen Center, or maybe we do a, you know, a presentation on probate and a handout. As many places as I could leave, because I'm a face-to-face person, as many. I already talked to the credit union in town, and they said they would put together a probate seminar at the Senior Citizens. And, you know, so I'm just trying to get relatable material that's also marketing. It's like, hey, you know, here's how this works, but you want to use a realtor.
Here's I just put a sample of a probate checklist that is very rudimentary and basic that I used in my business for a long time. It's not professionalized. I've actually given this to some companies, and I'm going to try to stay agnostic on where you guys get your leads and who you go to here, just because I know a lot of people get leads from a lot of different places. So I want to stay semi-agnostic, but I've given this checklist to a handful of companies that have gone out and created nice looking laminated sheets that you guys can use. I always just held this. If I was having a conversation with someone on the phone and they said, hey, I really don't know what to do, I'd say, you know, I have a really nice checklist that'll help save you a lot of time and keep you on track. Could I send that to you? Well, yeah. Okay. What's your email address? Now I've captured an email and I've got my first personalized email. And then, of course, what am I going to do with that email? It's going to go in my campaign. So a checklist like that is good. That's generalized. I'd originally created mine for North Carolina. And I find that you don't need to get hyper specific on things like a checklist. You could be somewhat general. I think that mine, almost every step applies to most states in the U.S. Okay.
You want to generalize
a few steps that are slightly changed if you're in some states, but for the most part, that'll apply. And it's a good lead magnet to get them to give you an email address or to strengthen that relationship. Now, when it comes to brochures, here's what I do with brochures. And I do know that, I'd mentioned a little bit ago, all the leads had CRM that you could use that was free. They have a brochure over on their site that I think you can get. What I typically do with brochures is I want to wireframe a brochure out first. So I think of the categories that I want to talk to. And then what I'm going to do with a nice blank piece of paper, so I'm just going to draw three lines down the side, and I'm going to say, in this section, I want to talk about who I am. In this section, I want to put my resume. In this section, I want to put my logo and photo and contact information. And then I'll flip it over and I'll do three more sections. And I'll say, in this section, I'm going to put testimonials. In this section, I'm going to put my list of items that I help with. And on this last section, I'm going to give a freebie. Okay. And now you've laid out your six sections of a trifold brochure. And then it's just a matter of putting copy in and working with a great designer. I do have a really good designer, and I try to keep competition across our different lead sources relatively low on this particular call. But I don't have another designer that sends people to us. So I'll say there's a guy named Danny Atkinson in Dallas, Texas, who has designed some unbelievable pamphlets, magazines, brochures, presentations for a lot of agents. And he's got, I'm going to try to find, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to ask you guys, if you do want information on him, email me. Email Bruce@probatemastery.com. So Bruce@probatemastery.com. And he could take pretty much any wireframe that you give and turn it into something that looks really, really good. You just have to give some copy. He did. I think everyone knows that I like to present out of listing magazines. So I show up, instead of showing up with a PowerPoint or just a stack of comps, I show up with a booklet that's designed for me, and it looks really professional, makes me look great. And it's only 12 pages. It's nothing fancy, but it looks really fancy. And so he designed that for me and a lot of other things. So hopefully that helps, Alan. Yeah, I would wireframe it out. Or I would go, wireframe is going to be your best bet. If you're already getting leads from someone, that lead provider might have brochures for you. All right. Any other assets that you guys are creating? So we've got a brochure asset. We have an email campaign asset. Catherine brought up video. I want to circle back to that in a minute. But are you guys building any other assets into your business that work for you while you sleep? Joan. You're on mute.
Hello, I am a real estate investor, and right now I am working on midterm rentals for long-term wealth to be able to work for me while I sleep. I am in the middle of creating my first campaign. I've done probate myself, have experienced that, and had to be a personal representative that gave me the passion. I'm startup in this business in a couple years. So right now I have gotten my lead source through Odyssey portal here in Washington State. So pretty much all of the major counties, except for King County, which I have access to as well, but to start my mail campaign. And so I think, I'll be able to get that on a system once I, learn it. But right now I need to not go deep diving into probate because it intrigues me. So I'm like trying to figure out what is a good lead, because I don't want to send leads to people and get them upset. And you hear that all the time on here, that you make people upset when you think that you're an ambulance chaser. So I'm trying to put them not in a category. So I don't know. And this could be kind of a question too, because how many people have experienced an actual lead if the house is paid off, like you said, and they're living in that house, they inherited that house, there's no debt in that house. At some point, I mean, do you guys give them, campaigns, keep them on your drip campaign, or do you just let them, bless them, I'll let them go?
Well, first off, very first and foremost, I want to address the kind of the concern or the worry that you will be perceived as an ambulance chaser. How many of you have thought that and have had that worry before? Okay. I want to address that and say that if you are empathetic, if you have real empathy, if you're really out to serve a family, now, of course, you're going to make an income, but if you're really out to make a difference in a family's life, how they perceive you is their problem. It's not your problem. It's your problem if you're an ambulance chaser. If you're a vulture, that's your problem. You are going to be transparent, and they are going to read through you in a heartbeat. And a lot of people are going to read through the image that you're trying to present. If you are empathetic and you're really, really trying to make a difference in people's life and make an income at the same time, you are still going to have a few people that misinterpret you. but you're going to cut down on the number of people that think that you're an ambulance chaser by a lot. Okay. We don't know what our audience is going through. We have no idea what they're going through on their end. They could be in the middle of grief that we've never experienced before. They could be clinically depressed. They could be stressed at work. They could be loaded up with multiple losses. They could be overwhelmed and just looking for an advocate and a guide. We have no idea what they're going through. And so what we do is we put a message in front of them, whether that be through phone, email, mail campaigns, YouTube videos. We put a message in front of them that we know most people are going to need. And if they don't need that, then that's not our problem. We put something that most people are going to need. If they misinterpret that, that's their problem, not ours. I will tell you that I've sent letters out to my campaign, and I've had someone that I never would have thought would have ever responded positively to the message. It was a wife with two minor children, and her husband had just killed himself. It was traumatic, and she was living in the house. Okay. I've heard from a lot of people before, hey, I don't go after surviving spouses. I've heard that from many, 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 many people. That campaign got me a lot of business from that woman who told me that she could have never made it through probate without me, that I was a godsend, that I was her basically favorite person, that she was going to send everyone to me from that point forward. And that's what that's an example of the type of lead that a lot of people would scrub out of their campaign because it's their surviving spouse living in the house. A lot of you guys scrub those people out of your prospecting and your campaign. That same exact month, I had someone that was out of state, a personal representative, an empty house, who told me I was an ambulance chaser because of the same letter that she responded so favorably to. Okay. So are some people going to misinterpret you? Absolutely. That's a them problem. It's a you problem if you really are a vulture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. If you're not, don't worry about one or two people responding negatively.
I first Okay. Thanks. Okay.
All right. But a mail campaign is absolutely an asset that you should have. And if you're going to do a mail campaign, I want you to have a warm mail campaign as well as a cold mail campaign. So you need to work on both of those. One to go out before there's a relationship, one to go out after there's a relationship.
Okay.
All right. And you don't have to do it all up front. You can take a year to build your campaign. It's okay. Okay. Mark.
Okay. Hey, how are you?
Great.
All right. So I'm a realtor. I'm also, you know, a property investor, and I still belong to a company. I actually still use assets from a company called Authorify. This is for real estate agents. I don't know if you've heard of them before, but
Absolutely. They
help you put together these books that actually establish you as an expert. I still have a copy of one of mine that I put it to a while back. You know, it's the A Guide to Navigating Your Inherited Home Sale.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do a lot with it. I gave it a shot, but I sent it out to, you know, some folks, but I didn't really get too much business from that. But I only did like a dozen or two dozen copies. I didn't really, you know, give that much of an effort. I mean, mostly I'm working on for sale by owners, and I use and I have another book that I use to give as a thank you gift at the end, you know, with home improvements that improve values. But yeah, to be with Authorify, it only costs like $99 a month, I think. And then it's like $4 to $5 a book, you know, when you order them. So, any agent who wants to do something like that, that would actually be a great idea. I mean, what I should have done is, well, like at least 100, and send them out to like, you know, newly, you know, anytime I see a new, you know, a new probate lead come in, send them out to my folks in the local area. That's so I might give that another go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that I've heard about that company called All the Leads, you know, that they have some pretty good. Some resources, you know, they have, I mean, I think I saw like 200 leads in my area when I checked them out. So,
mm-hmm.
So maybe I might just revisit that again, but that was another asset that I've used in the past.
Cool. Cool. I love it. Authorify is
used in certain market aspects.
Great asset. A great, great asset. There's a lot of them out there. A lot of times people will build your asset for you or they already have it. Booklets and guides are great. YouTube playlists are absolutely incredible assets, Catherine, that you can build in. Here's what I'll tell you about printed assets. And I'm not talking about mail. I'm talking about books. Okay. It's hard to know who is going to be interested in that. So when it comes to books, especially those that might cost $4 or $5 a book, which really isn't that expensive, you do want to make sure you're putting it in front of people that are going to have an interest. So some higher likelihood of having an interest. I wouldn't send it out to 200 leads. I would put a free lead capture maybe on a website or a landing page saying, hey, if you want my guide on getting through probate, really important language, and you don't have to use this exact language, but really important, and half the time and save $10,000, get my book. Huge difference between that and if you want my guide on getting through probate, get my book. Okay, so put some real numbers around it. Okay. So my guide helps families on average cut their time in probate in half, something like that. Okay. Because you need that to be really attractive. Get my book. And then it becomes a lead capture. Now you're sending it to the few people. It's not going to be a lot, but the few people who really, really want it. And you're moving yourself forward and you're capturing leads. Or with books like the Authorify books, I might use those when I visit attorney offices. So I would use those for attorney offices. I might use those for assisted living, funeral homes, high value vendors and network partners who deal with people far before they typically come to me. So I'm usually going to use more expensive assets like books and things like that, either for opt-ins or for my vendor partners. Same with brochures, by the way, Alan. Alan, you okay. Absolutely. If I'm using brochures, I might insert it in my mail, but most of the time I'm using a brochure when I drop by my attorney's office or my other vendor partners who are getting
leads. Is that something you prepare yourself or you're having it through a vendor?
No, that would be like a brochure that I would prepare myself. Okay. So what I've done in the past, and I don't have an example. I wish I'd kept this. I was a real dummy for not keeping it. No, I'm not dummy. Say good things about yourself, Bruce.
Yeah, I can see.
I wish I'd kept this. I did a low profile box and I put a brochure in it. I'd have put a vendor flyer in there, just kind of, a waterfall design. By waterfall, it was just like a vendor picture over here on one side and then a little three-line blurb of what they did. Then I'd drop down in the next line, I'd put another vendor and a couple of vendor coupons and a letter and a magnet and a pen and different things like that. And I would take that to attorneys and vendors. And it was something that was really kind of high impact. It was expensive and hard to put together, but once it's together, you can really drop it off to several people that deal with these relationships before they come to us. Because you got to recognize a lot of people don't rush out looking for a realtor that'll sell their inherited house. They don't rush out looking for an investor that'll buy their inherited house. They typically look for the funeral home first, the attorney second, the estate sale company third. Okay. A lot of times they look for our vendor partners before they look for us. If they're gonna deal with us first, it's usually because we reached out to them. So we want to spend some time on assets that we're gonna give to those partners that get the business before we get the business. And then that way they can bring us the deals, right? So equal time dealing with PRs versus vendors. That's what I like to do. All right. What else do you guys have? We're about 12 minutes from the top of the hour. We're going good on conversation at this point. Any other questions? Catherine, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I've been really active this call. I appreciate all the information and everything everyone has shared. And I just had a question to revisit the video. And I know we could go on like a whole nother topic about that. excuse me, but I, so where I struggle with the video content is I always feel like I'm talking to other investors or to other people that are like me that are trying to get into probate. And I feel like I lose, like I haven't posted any videos because I'm not focused on my demographic being enough of like the common person that's going through the probate process and talking it through. I think because I guess what I'm trying to say is how do I keep that from getting complicated? Cause I think that's what attracts me the most about servicing this niche is that people do get confused when they get into the probate space. And I want to get rid of that confusion, but I just, I'm struck with the content. Mm-hmm. So
those people. Yep. So content needs to start simple, very simple. So first thing you need to do is sit down and talk about, paint with a really broad brush, the different categories of things that someone needs to handle. Okay, and let's say you're doing a video and you might record a 5 or 7 minute video that talks about the category of what they need to handle. And then what you're going to do in your comments or playlist, even better, especially if you land people on a playlist. If it's on a playlist, the next video will autoplay. If it's not on a playlist, at least put in the comments, hey, if you want to know more about this category, look at item number 2 in my copy under the video. So you might say, if you want to know more about choosing the right attorney, look at video number 2 in my comment section. If you want to know more about cleaning out the property, look at video number 3. So paint with broad brushstrokes in a category first. Record that, and then go in and record your individualized specific topic content videos next.
Okay, so, awesome. I do like that you said in the just the broad category of what people need to handle. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
The other thing that you guys should never worry about is duplicating content. A lot of people go, I can't do a video on that. I've already done a video on that. Okay. Most people, even if they watched your video on that already, they don't remember what it was about. They remember the impact you made on them, not the content of your video or your blog or whatever it was. They're going to remember the impact. If you do another video talking about the same thing, they won't remember that they already saw something on that. They're going to remember again how it made them feel, how it impacted them. So you guys can duplicate your content over and over and over again. I do it the same way. I use duplicate content very, very frequently because people don't retain everything. Okay, so you get them hooked with content that's relevant, and then you can duplicate it. All right, Joan, did you have something to add? Sorry, I heard you chime in.
No, sorry.
Oh, you're good. Okay. All right, so that's how I would do that. I would do the same thing with blog content as well. All these are assets that you guys can build into your business over time. And remember, when you build assets, it's never about knocking it out all at once. It's a slow process. It does not need to happen all at one time. But remember, if you want to get some of your life back and have more time to spend with family or traveling or more of your life back so that you can spend more time prospecting even, you need to automate other pieces of your business. I'm going to answer Matt's question real quick. So how much of the words that we use is based on the mindset of being an ambulance chaser versus someone who's there to give advice and move someone forward? So what you say and how you say it is 90% of the battle. Okay. I role play with some people and I can just tell that their mindset is not ever going to be able to convince someone that they're not chasing an ambulance. They will always sound like an ambulance chaser because that's their mindset. That's what they are. It's what they are. And they might occasionally trick someone, but most people are going to read through because their mindset is in the wrong place. Okay. Just like if you have the purest of intentions, and even if you were doing something for no profit at all, and you were strictly altruistic, some people are a small percentage will misinterpret you. But because your mindset is right, most people will understand that your mindset is in there, that your mind and your heart's in the right place. So don't worry about the fringes. Don't worry about the fringe person that misunderstands you. That's a fringe person. Now, if lots and lots and lots of people are misunderstanding you, you have to ask yourself, okay, am I chasing ambulances? Or if I'm not, how do I adjust the language that I use? How do I approach this more from a place of curiosity instead of a place of just trying to get the appointment? Okay, that'll help a lot. Jonathan asked a question, and this is a good one for Authorify. Who had the Authorify book? Mark, unmute yourself. Can you get a soft copy? Oh, you already answered this. Yes. I want you to answer it again. You can get a soft copy of the Authorify book.
Yep. Actually, I think you can actually order a sample of the book if you want before you even order, you know, what you want to get for it. If I remember right, because yeah, I remember they sent me like several samples before I chose and decided what I wanted to buy to use in my business. And I think they'll even, for the book that you buy, they'll even build a landing page for you. The CRM they have, I mean, it's just like a lead capture, and then they just give you like the information. It's not really a CRM they offer, but so I would just pick that information up and put it into a CRM. They actually would build a landing page for you if you needed them to. Right. I would probably just, you know, build my own out of my own website just so I can capture directly at this point, because I do have a website of my own now. So
I encourage you guys to have sites of your own or pages of your own. I like when someone builds it for me. It's easy, but I'll tell you, somebody building a landing page for you is never going to have quite the SEO power that you can get on your own. And normally any site, and my goal with any niche that I have is to show up on several search terms in the top five of organic, sites up there. YouTube videos do that. Blogs do that really well. Your own landing pages do that. It's very rare that a landing page that another company would build for you would do that. It can be done, but it's rare. Now, Mark, without naming your market, what state are you in?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Okay. So you answered Audra's question, and I want to re-answer Audra's question because Audra's in California. And for most of us, we have a much more simple process for probate than California.
I imagine.
So California,
nothing's easy out there.
Two different types of authority that a personal representative can be given. Okay. You have limited authority and full authority. And if you're not from California, you guys, this is just fun knowledge, but it probably doesn't apply to you so much. Limited authority means that the court gets to dictate what you sell for, who you sell to, how much the agent that you're working with can charge. The court basically decides a lot of things that you, as the heir, in my opinion, should be able to decide on your own. And a lot of attorneys, not all, but a lot of attorneys in California set up their clients with limited authority. Now, I have an opinion on this, and this is not guaranteed to be a true and accurate opinion. Every attorney has a different motivation for doing so. But I think that the reason attorneys in California set up their clients with limited authority, where the court has to approve everything, including the listing commission that they pay, is because that involves the attorney a lot more, and it racks up a lot more billable hours, and the attorney makes more money. That's my opinion. Okay. Is it true of every attorney in California? No, absolutely not. But a lot of them are setting up their clients with limited authority so that they can make more money and be more involved in the probate process. All right, if anyone wants to dispute that, I'm wide open. I don't live in California. If somebody wants to say, hey, Bruce, you're wrong, I'm good hearing that I'm wrong on that, because it's a market that I haven't served. Now, on the flip side, if you're in California and you get full authority, then you should be able to set up any agreement with any realtor you want. If you want to pay your realtor 30% commission, you should be able to go for it, I think. Okay. I don't believe that there's a cap if it's full authority, but I think that there might be some downward pressure as the court gets involved in making decisions on which agent they're going to go with and how much that agent is allowed to charge if it's limited. Okay, so Jonathan asked, Bruce, would you remove previous content if you update or create a new video on a specific topic? No, absolutely not. I want thousands of videos out there, and if 100 of them talk about the exact same thing, then so be it. That's good. One may show up higher ranking. One might drive one of my websites higher. I want a lot of content out there. So leave any old versions of your content up, even if you don't like them a whole lot. I've been guilty of recording videos and publishing them and then going, you know what? I don't really like that a whole lot. I'm going to redo it. And then I delete the old video. I think that's a huge mistake. I think you need to leave the old video up there. Even if you improve your skill in creating video, you need to leave the content up. It only helps your marketing. Are there probate email templates on all the leads? I don't think so. It's possible. Good question, Carlos. It's possible, but I don't think so.
All the leads now offering a CRM service. Mm-hmm. They just built out a CRM, so they probably do have some templates, I would imagine, in there. I would hope, anyway.
So Chad and I wrote a lot of the mail templates in there. Not all. But a lot of them, and we didn't write any email templates into it. I don't know who would have written the email templates. They may have email templates. I'm not sure, but I'd it would be nice if they did create those.
Yeah, they have a little help video library with a whole bunch of stuff that you can check out some of the features in the CRM. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably watch that later.
Awesome. Yeah. So Fiverr is a good, Carlos, Fiverr is a good resource for assisting and building out landing pages. Absolutely. Absolutely. I like going to Fiverr. Anyone that does build websites or landing pages, I highly encourage you to, and if you're a developer, you're going to cringe at my use of the word wireframe, because when I refer to a wireframe, I know you guys are looking at a full graphic design. What I do with a wireframe is basically a stick figure drawing of what I want where. I want a button here that says this, and then I put a stick figure and I say, I want my picture here, and it's awful. If anyone wants to see my art, go follow me on Instagram. I recently did one of those blind paintings where I had to paint my wife across the table, and it was probably the worst thing that anyone's ever seen, but very funny. So anyway, guys, all right, we are at the top of the hour. Do I have any last minute questions before we kind of close out today? I hope this has been helpful. I want you guys to remember there's always going to be time that you invest into your business time. And that time needs to be repeated repetitively. If you're building a prospecting based business where you're on the phone, which I do encourage you guys to do, that's what you generate today is for today. You need to go prospect again tomorrow to get more deals. Okay. So there's always going to be things that you do where you're investing your time and you need to put that investment on repeat. But there's so many things that we can do that we can build into our business that will continue to work for us for long, long periods of time that we get to do it once and then it lives. And I want you guys to start thinking of your business that way. Questions before we go, though? If not, I will let everybody go. I really appreciate everybody being here. If you have not checked out, let me give one last little sales pitch before you guys jump off. If you've not checked out the redesignprobatemastery.com website, go look at it. Next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'm doing Probate Mastery Live. I'm on Eastern time, so it's going to run from 12 noon until about 4 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's the April 31st, 30 days after September, April 30th, May 1st and 2nd. So it's about 12-ish hours long. It might run a little longer. And we're doing it live. And we also have a new coaching program. If anyone wants to learn about that, you can book a discovery call through the page. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you guys.